If you have a Bible, I want you to open up to two places tonight. And notice this scripture with me, if you would, in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, if you would, in your New Testament. I want you to see this, Romans chapter 14. And this morning, I talked to you about how you can be, you have an advocate with the Father, and how you can be ready for the great white throne judgment, basically that. And yet, there's another judgment that we want to talk about tonight. And I want to talk about this subject, the judgment you definitely want to be at. Amen. You say, Brother Reed, I'm not interested in going to court in front of no one. I don't want to do that. That's not why I got saved. Hey, what you did was you made a choice. If you took Jesus as your Savior and trusted Him and got born again like I did, the Bible says you absolutely dodged a bullet. Absolutely. The worst possible thing that can happen to you, you avoided, you sidestepped it, and you let you took Him as your Savior, and now you're heaven bound with the hammer down. But there is another judgment. Now look what it says here in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10. Romans chapter 14, verse number 10, and notice this scripture, if you would, with me. It says, why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is a horse of a different color. It says, for as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. It says, why dost thou judge thy brother? See that verse in 10, verse 10? Romans 14, 10. If you don't have a Bible, maybe look on with the person next to you and see this. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? That's kind of fun to do, to kind of knock people down, to kind of set people at naught and try to make them look like zeros with the sides knocked out. Isn't that kind of fun? That's one of our favorite hobbies in the church house. I heard about this preacher that figured it out, Brother Eric. Maybe we ought to try to do this and implement this at Lighthouse Baptist. What would happen if we did? This guy, I got to turn my mic on. This guy, absolutely, he said, I don't know where he got it, but maybe the Lord showed him to do it. He had church members, and I know none of y'all ever say anything bad about the other ones. I know that. I know y'all are just like the saints and you just walk so close to the Lord, all of you, all the time, and perfect harmony. I know that. We actually do think that about you. We do. We come here and we say, man, this is awesome church. And we do. But, this guy had some problems arising, and this young pastor figured it out. He said, I know what I'm going to do. The next time one of them starts, Sister Ratchet Jaw, starts to tear in to so-and-so, and brother so-and-so starts to barbecue the song leader and say something bad about, oh, this one. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He got him a little book. It had empty pages in it, and it was nice, sharp, cost him a lot of dollars. And he put on the front complaints of members one against another. And then he put the name of his church there at the bottom. And he said, and basically, when they came up to him, and they always hit the preacher. And they say, preacher, you know, I love old so-and-so, but if you knew about them what I did, and they start to tear into so-and-such a brother and sister, and they're not there to defend themselves. And so the pastor goes, hang on, let me run to my office. I got something to help you with this. And he runs and gets that book. And he gets complaints of members, one against the other. And he's got a nice pen there. And he said, go ahead and talk to me. Tell me what it said, what you want to say. And he says, I'm writing it down. And he said, what are you doing? He said, oh, it's complaints of members, one against another. He said, I thought you put it down and sign it. Oh, no, preacher, I don't really want to say anything. I got I forgot about that appointment I got. And man, they shot out the door. And then it's somebody else that come in a few days later. And they start to tear into so-and-so. And they call on him on the phone. Hey, I want to, any man, he just, burning his phone up. Not anymore. Because every time they say, they all begin to tell each other, he's got that book. He pulled it out. I saw it that day. He brought it into the church auditorium. And he may want me to sign it. And I said, I don't want to sign it. I don't want to sign that. I got to go. I mean, my wife just called me. I think she wants me to do something for her. And they skip out. And he said, 5 years later, 5 years later, he said they didn't have one entry in that book. I mean, it was an empty book. I mean, buddy, that did the job. That's not a bad idea if you get that kind of record. That quash all the gossiping and the backbiting and the bad talking, huh? Are you listening to me? And because, hey, if you can't sign it, don't say it. And the Bible says here, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? It's like our favorite little hobby. We think it makes us look bigger and better if we put somebody else down and make them look smaller. But it doesn't really work that way. He said, why dost thou set it not thy brother? We should all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to notice three things in this passage right here about this judgment day that the Christian's going to face. One, there's three positions. One, you're going to, one, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Number two, every one of us are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day and give an account. Number two, it says we're going to kneel before the judgment seat of Christ. It says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, verse 10. And then for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. It says every knee is going to bow to me. We're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Then we're going to kneel before the Lord. Both knees are going to bow right away to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says every tongue shall confess to God. Now that's where it gets serious. Now, what does that mean? When it says, every tongue shall confess to God. Some people say, well, yeah, at the great white throne judgment, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hey, did you know every lost person, the most hardened atheist, the most wicked Satanist, the most corrupt politician, the worst child molester that's still at loose right now, the worst mass murderer that said, I don't even believe in Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, do you know every single one of them are one day going to bow before Jesus Christ? They're going to confess before Jesus. Hey, think about this when you go soul winning. Did you realize we serve a God that knows no defeat? When you're doing what you're supposed to do, exactly what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it in the right way, you serve a God that can't be defeated. Did you know that every single person I've ever witnessed to, that I've witnessed to right, is one day going to confess Christ? They're all going to one day bow. They're all going to one day pray. They're all going to one day confess. But it's going to be too late. Are you listening to me? Every single person we talk to is going to believe exactly what that Bible says one day. At the great white throne judgment, they're all going to bow and they're all going to confess. This is not talking about the judgment seat. I heard an old preacher named Carl Lackey, and I appreciate old preachers. He's been in heaven now for years. Some of y'all may have heard about him. He's from up in Carolina in the backwoods. He's quite the preacher. They call him the Hatchet Man. When the Hatchet Man came and preached for you, you better have on some steel toe boots, buddy. I mean, he's going to preach on everything. He's going to skin you alive. And old Carl Lackey was an old camp meeting preacher, but he had a bus route too. That kind of balanced out the camp meeting side. I like camp meeting preachers. They're some of my favorite preachers. They can all rip. But they don't have a big heart for missions and soul winning and bus. But this guy did. And his wife had over 150 people on her bus route. She'd go up in those mountains in Mount Airy, North Carolina. And Carl Lackey says this. He said, you better watch it. He said, you better watch it on this judgment seat. And he was talking about this verse. And he said, everything you don't confess down here in private on an old-fashioned altar, some of you need to get to the altar and get to the altar quick. Some of you need to get to the altar every time there's an invitation in your church and just confess your sins. That's what he said. He said, here's why. You commit them. And he said, every sin you don't confess, one, if you don't confess it privately somewhere in your bedroom or something like that, one day you're going to confess it publicly at the judgment seat. And he said, this verse is not written to lost people. This is written to save people. Buddy, that's a scary thought. I had a girl named Olivia that texted me, and I preached a youth conference out in Albuquerque, New Mexico in late July this year. My kids were there, and we've seen a lot of young people from different states there. And we preached, and Olivia texted me, and she got to kind of make friends with me that week. She was on the altar all the time. And she said, Brother Freddie, she said, I'm saved, and I know I'm going to heaven. But there's one thing that scares me bad. It's the judgment seat of Christ. Every time I hear somebody preach about it, it bothers me. Because she says, I don't want to have to stand before the Lord and give account for everything I did from the day I got saved till the day I died. See, listen to me. Everything you do from the day you get saved till the day you die, or the day you get saved, or the day of the rapture, whichever one of those two events come first, everything you do is being recorded. Take a look sometime when you know John 3:16. Take a look at Malachi 3:16. And it's actually a good verse. It's a really good verse. But it talks about, for the believer, for those that fear the Lord and think upon His name, God's writing down what they do for some reason. And it's called, He puts it in the book of remembrance. One day it's all going to come back up. And that's why He said, every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. She said, would you please put some extra prayers in for me? Because I don't want to have to go before the judgment seat. And I need you to kind of help me and give me some ideas of what I can do so I can have a better judgment seat. So that's what I want to preach on tonight. How you can have a good judgment seat, Christian. Are you listening to me? Don't just think you're going to skate by just because you got saved. Are you listening? You know what people say they say about us Baptists? Here's what they say. See if you ain't heard them say stuff like this. Man, if I believe the cult people and the you know, charismaniacs, and the people believe you got to work your way to heaven, and you're saved one day and you're lost the next, and you're saved the next day and lost the next, and saved the next day and lost the next, hope you die on the right day. And you got to go back and get saved again and again and again. When Jesus died once, all you do is be saved once the right way. Just make sure you're saved the right way. But they say this. They say, if I believe what you Baptists believe, I just get saved and do anything I wanted. I like what one old preacher said. He said, if I believe what you believe, I just get saved and do whatever. He said, you don't know everything I believe. Are you listening to me? You still reap what you sow. After you're saved, there is that universal law that you reap what you sow. Don't tell me, a lot of the younger generation, I like the older preachers. They're dying off. And I find very few younger, I like this guy. We stream some of his stuff and listen to it online. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. You found the right place. Don't you leave just because it gets tough sometimes because his message. Hey, do you know the best coaches are the toughest coaches? They're trying to get you ready for game day. The best drill sergeants are the toughest drill sergeants. They're trying to get you ready for combat. Hey, listen to me. You better thank God for your preacher. And a lot of the younger preachers nowadays, you know what they do? They make light of the judgment seat of Christ. And they make it like, oh, Jesus is going to be so overjoyed that you're a Christian, that you got born again, that you got saved by grace. He's going to, everybody that shows up at the judgment seat is going to get a big door prize. I don't think that's how the old book reads. In the Old Testament or the New, and it's almost like every single person is just because he's going to be so happy you're there that, and so overjoyed that every single person is going to get a juice box and a participation trophy. Maybe Chuck E. Cheese tokens he'll be giving out, all right? I don't know. Hey, listen to me. It's not going to be like that. Hey, he's not impossible to please, but he's tough to please. You think your dad's tough? You wait till you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What are you going to have? Are you going to have an F on your report card? Or are you going to have an A plus? In Romans, in 1 Corinthians 3, it tells you about it. And it tells you, let's turn there, 1 Corinthians 3, it's just so clear. It says, every man will receive his own reward according to his own labor. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at this. And notice this. It says in verse 8, he that planteth, he that watereth, the one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For whoever labors together, 1 Corinthians 3, 7, with God. You're God's husband, you're God's building. And look at this. Here's what he tells about the details about the judgment seat. According to the grace of God, which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Paul told them about their foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation. Trust him and trust him alone. Don't trust anything else. Don't count on yourself. Count on him all the way. He said, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Are you with me? Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 3, 12. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Listen closely. At the judgment seat of Christ, it's interesting. When you read this, I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I told you I probably gave you a little bit of my testimony this morning. I think I did. What happened to me the day I got saved? The Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. That's a great Bible principle. That's over in 1 Corinthians 11. Listen closely. If you get tough on yourself, quit being so tough on everybody next to you. Quit being so tough on your brother and sister and quit setting them at naught and judge yourself and condemn yourself and be tough on yourself, you'll have a better judgment seat. Your grade will go exponentially higher when you get up there and stand before God. It will. But when you look at this, it looks like we're all sending stuff ahead. They say you can't take it with you. How many ever heard that? You can't take it with you, but you can send it all, you can send it on ahead. Nobody when they die has a U-Haul trailer behind them and a budget, you know, car that's just got all their stuff they're taking. They're not taking it with you. You're going out. You came into this world naked. And Job said, naked I'll return. They strip you down when those guys put the formaldehyde in you. Those, I wouldn't want to work in one of them places. Those guys that, you know, work in the funeral homes, they strip your clothes off of you, put a nice suit or nice dress. It's wicked to think about. Hey, bad to think. But then, and you don't have nothing. You can't take nothing with you. Thank God they put something on there for you to be decency's sake. Amen. But you, when you were a baby, you came in, you didn't have nothing on. And when you leave this planet, you ain't going to have nothing on. But the clothes they choose to put on you, are you listening to me? They say you can send it on ahead. And it's like we're sending building materials up there. And everything you do is, it's like you're going down to Home Depot and you're saying, I want this kind of building material and I want that. I want this many. Put this in the back of my cart. Put this in the back of my pickup. And you're pulling stuff every day and sending it and you're building with that thing. Everything you do from the day you get saved to the day you die, or the day you get saved to the day of the rapture, whichever one comes first, is building something up in heaven. But the crazy thing about it is, I got saved because I didn't want to get in the fire. Listen closely now. I think heaven's going to be a lot different than a lot of people think it is. You better pick up a Bible and see what the Bible says heaven's going to be like. I got saved. How many of y'all got saved because you just didn't want to go to hell? Raise your hand. Just be honest. A lot of you in here, and I know some of you because you love Jesus and other reasons. The main number one reason why people get saved is because they don't want to go to hell. That's what you got saved from. It's from hell. That's old-fashioned salvation. Salvation from hell. Listen to me. But the craziest thing, I got saved so I wouldn't have to get in the fire. But guess what happens as soon as I get to heaven? A fire breaks out. What do you mean, Brother Freddie? It says God's going to start a fire at the judgment seat. Right after you get there, right after the rapture. This is why some people ain't praying for the rapture. You know, the last prayer in the Bible is, even so, come Lord Jesus. But a lot of people don't want to pray that because they heard a little bit about the judgment seat. And they go, ugh, I don't know if I want that to happen so quick. No, I don't even make some adjustments. You're smart. But hey, listen to him. If you're just right with God, you can pray, Lord, come back. Right now, I'm ready. Listen to me. When you get up there, you're going to stand before the Lord. And he said he's going to burn his own house down. He's helping you build it. He's trying to. And the Bible says he's going to stick a match to it or something, and it's going to blow up in smoke for a lot of Christians. And the Bible says if any man's work abide, he shall receive a reward. That would be the gold, silver, and precious stone stuff you did. And the other thing, if any man's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss. I would call him a born-again loser. They got an L on their... Some of y'all smile, or I'm going to have to park here a little longer. Amen. I'm trying to... If you'll say amen and smile a little bit, I'll preach quicker. Did y'all notice that? Some of y'all are going to start saying amen now. Amen. Good reason or bad reason, you're going to say it. Hey, listen to me. Some Christians would be born... They shall suffer loss, yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. If my little boy, David, is my youngest now, if I come home and he is like, let's say he was 4 or 5 years old, and I come home one time from a meeting one evening, and when I got home, Miss Janie met me at the car in the van, and she said, guess what your son did? You know, I'm like, oh man, he's in trouble again. And suppose he took a rock and chunked it through the next door neighbor's window. Oh, that wouldn't be good, would it? While I was gone? Don't do that, David. We've told you before. Don't do that. And he chunked it through the next day. And then he come in, he wasn't done. And he took, he took a little pocket knife that we gave him for his birthday. I'm just making this up. And slashed the tires on mom's vehicle. Oh man, her Dodge van. That would not be good. Just stuck a little hole in it. And did it 4 times in a row. And then he come in and she said, take out the trash. Okay, I will. And he took the trash out. You got kids like this? Y'all pray for us. Amen. We need mercy. Amen. And no, he ain't never done this, but he's probably thought about it. And he took the trash out. Oh yeah, he did. And he spread it evenly all over the front yard. He didn't take it to the trash can. He just took the trash out. What would I do if I got home? Would I take my boy and grab him by the arm and pull him in the kitchen and stick him in the oven and put it on 450? So, I mean, I got some of you awake right there. Are you listening to me? I wouldn't do that. It's a thought, but I wouldn't do that. Amen. I'd never stick my boy in the oven. It never crosses my mind. But what would I do? Oh, I'll tell you what I might do. You don't want to know. It'd be a powwow, and I'd do the powwing. He'd do the wowing. And I'd have his nose stuck in the corner for about 15 years. He'd be on restriction till he's about 30. Amen. And I still got to pay for that window and those tires and clean up that yard or get him out there helping me clean it up. Hey, listen to me. Did you know there are other bad things that can happen to you? Listen closely. Please get this. For illustration's sake, maybe you can get it. There are other bad things that can happen to you, Christian, besides go to hell. You beat the big one. When you took Jesus as your Savior and you made Him your attorney, you sidestepped the worst possible destination thing you could have had happen. You're going to heaven. I hate to tell you this, but you're going to have to go to heaven now. There's only one or two places you can go. And you missed hell, double jeopardy. He's already paid for that. You don't have to pay for it. Hallelujah. But there are other bad things that can happen. You can make your path to heaven rough. I don't know if you've ever been out behind the barn with the Lord, where he had to take you out and wear you out real good. And he turns you every which way but loose. You've ever had God get a hold of you and give you a spanking and put you on his spanking machine? Some of you young people, you know what's wrong with you? You're not scared enough of God. You don't realize how powerful he is. You just think, well, I'll just do whatever I want because sin is against an evil works not executed speedily. The heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You just think, I'm getting away with it, but not forever. One of these days, he'll get you. There's more than one way to get you. And one of the ways is this judgment seat. You're going to have to stand in front of him. And listen close. At the judgment seat, there's two main judgments, one for the saved, and then one, the saint, they call them the saints and the ain'ts. Amen. Y'all, how many of y'all say, I'm not a saint, but you ain't an ain't anymore. Amen. So I'm calling you a saint. And that's what the Bible calls you. But the saints are judged, not the sinner, at this judgment seat of Christ. The saints are judged, not the sinner. The saved people are judged, not the lost. Number two, the works are judged, not the worker. Stay with me. And last but not least, the quality is judged, not the quantity. Everybody now, it's assembly line Christianity. It's just produce, 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 produce. And they don't really put it together like it's supposed to be. It's just how much can you do and put it all together. And they're not thorough and they're not careful. The Bible said we ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word truth. We ought to try to find out what pleases God. Because he's the boss. He's the big boss. The quality is judged, not the quantity. The saints are judged, not the sinner. The works are judged, not the worker. Now look at this and look closely. Look at Revelation 20. And notice the person is judged. Revelation 20. We got much longer. We got to get our pizza. Amen. Say amen right there. If you say amen, I go quicker. We get the pizza before it gets cold and stale. Amen. He said 3 hours. I said I would go short. Amen. So I'm not going to go three. Look at Revelation 20:11. And I saw a great white throne. Revelation 20:11. And him that sat on it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. Notice that word. What's the dead? Who are the dead? That's the people that never received eternal life. They never received Jesus Christ. He is eternal life, by the way. And so I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to the works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. That's the book your name's written in when you get a second birth. Are you listening to me? When you're born the first time, they put your name. They put your name. They give you a birth certificate. And they spank you real good that first day you're alive. Amen? First thing they do is give you a spanking. You might not remember it, but the doctor spanked you and you started crying. Amen. We all feel sorry for you. And they hosed you off. I don't know what all they did. It's crazy. And then somebody is sitting in there and they put your name in a book. And that proves you're born. Are you listening to me? And yet, you gotta be born twice. And when you get born again, guess what God does? He makes you his child when you receive him. And then he writes your name in heaven. But if your name's not written in heaven in that book of life, you've never been born, you never received eternal life, your name's not in the book of life. You're called the dead. And notice it says here, the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. Notice the wording. How come people, all lost people, just about have a common denominator with each other, and every one of them believe that I'm going to get to heaven by how good I am? I'm going to get to heaven. They pop their suspension. I think I'm better than so-and-so, better than that hypocrite in the church. Well, you probably are. But listen, they all think they're getting to heaven by how good they are. Well, because that's what you think, God's going to judge you that way. It says he's going to judge you according to your works. But notice it says the person is judged. The dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to the works. Now let's look at the judgment seat of Christ one more time. Look at 1 Corinthians 3 and notice the wording. It's very careful how God does this. It says, rightly dividing the word of truth. The judgments look similar, but they're not the same. They're for two different groups of people. Notice verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What day? The judgment day. Judgment seat of Christ day. The day shall occur because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Notice the wording. The fire is going to try your work. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Did you get the difference? Let's try to explain it. In 1 Corinthians 3, the judgment, the Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. The first big judgment is going to be for you. It'll happen right after the rapture. That's why you ought to be careful, because the rapture's coming, but you got to know what's coming next in the timeline. Revelation 20:12, it says, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. That judgment will take place in heaven. That thing will happen right after you get there. And it's like a fire breaks out. And your works start going. Hey, you get up there, I'll have my turn, you'll have your turn. And we get up there, I'm scared of it. I'll be honest, it bothers me. This is always in the back of my mind. And every good Christian I know, all the old timers, believe this, what I'm telling you. And one day, we're going to have to stand in front of God for what we did, for the things we did after we were saved. That scares me bad. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. The first time you get smart in your life is when you get scared of God. The first time I ever got smart was when I got scared of going to hell. You say, you shouldn't be scared of hell. I'd rather be hell scared than hell scorched. Thank God for an old time preacher that preached it straight, that got me thinking, and I got scared, and I made a smart move. I've done a lot of dumb things, but one of them is not when I got saved. That's the smartest thing I ever did. But then after I'm saved, I gotta look at the landscape and look ahead. Oh my, what's gonna happen later? Do I just want to live any old way, a sloppy Christian life, and just do whatever and just go halfway with it? Or do I want to be very careful what it says, let every man take heed how he buildeth their own. Be very careful what you put in and put and send ahead, because one day you're going to be judged for it. And it says in this judgment for the believer, it's every man's work will be tried. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. At the great white throne judgment, you remember Revelation 20? It said the dead will be judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. It sounds the same, but the person is judged at the great white throne judgment. I'm not going to get judged. Jesus took my judgment for me at Calvary, but my works are. What I did. Do you understand that? You got to see it. What I did is going to be put up there to see if I get a reward or see if I get embarrassed and I'm ashamed. What's 1 John 2:28 mean? When it says, abide in him that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. What is that talking about? The rapture is not just it's not just breeze. It's a Sunday school picnic. Oh, no. No, I want Jesus to come when I'm right. When I ain't living right, I'm saying, Lord, I don't want you to come right now. You ever prayed like that? The work is going to be judged, not the worker. And the quality is going to be judged. Every tribe or man's work of what sort it is, not the quantity. It's not how many you win. It's, did you do it the right way? That's why I was talking about that in Sunday school this morning. You shall be witnesses unto me. Obviously, in Acts 1:8, Jesus don't need to get saved. Amen. You don't believe that, do you? But he is listening to us when we give it to the lost. And Paul says that He said, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Are you telling me, Brother Freddie, when I get to heaven, I'm not just going to shout it out right away? I'm not going to just run the bases and be so happy? You're going to be happy you're there. Oh, yeah, you're going to be happy you're there. But some people are going to be saved by the hair of their chinny chin chin. And it ain't going to be good when they get there, because they're going to stand before the Lord and they're going to see, what would you think if you had this house you built and it cost you, got a 30-year mortgage, and you've got that thing almost paid off, or maybe you got it completely paid off, and it's the nicest house you could have got. You men understand this. You ladies understand this. You grown-ups, you kids, you're going to find out. But you work on that, and you get this thing paid off, and one month you let the insurance lapse. And it's everything you worked for your whole life. $200,000, $300,000 home or more. And you're sitting there. We passed some of them up this last week looking right here in your community. Some nice, nice homes. What would you think if your insurance lapsed and you come home one time, right from church or something, and your house had burnt down? Would you jump up on the foundation and say, well, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved? Or would you weep your eyes out because you lost everything? A lot of Christians are not putting, they're not getting it, they're not getting something quality. You want to build quality. Do it the Bible way. He's going to say, how's he going to start the fire? And I'll close with this. How's Jesus going to start that fire? Brother Freddie, you're wrong. You just are totally wrong. There ain't going to be a fire in heaven. Well, tell me where the judgment seat's going to happen. I'm getting out of the fire when I got saved. I got out of the fire. Yes, you did. Hallelujah, you did. But I'm looking, he's going to burn his house down. Right after you get to heaven, it's going to happen like the next big event. It's on the calendar. Get ready for court. I talked to you this morning how to be ready for your day in court. Well, if you're lost, you better get the right attorney. I recommend mine. If you're saved, you better get your act together. And you better get with it and play some catch up ball if you're running behind. How many of y'all know what that is? Man, I'm playing behind. It's fourth quarter and I ain't got no points scored. It's time right now to produce. It's time right now to do something for Jesus that really counts, that cuts the mustard. And he's going to try every man's work of what sort it is. How's he going to start the fire? Oh, I know what he'll do. He'll get a box of matches. And Jesus will come and leave the right hand of the Father. And he'll come down there where you are and he'll strike a match. And he'll start that and he'll burn that stuff up. Wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, precious stone. And we're going to see what you're made of. I don't think you're going to have to use matches. I know what he'll do. He'll borrow a cigarette lighter from a deacon that offers a Sunday morning sacrifice between Sunday school and church. Every church, Baptist church has got one. Amen. I think he's going to, can I borrow your cigarette lighter? I don't think he's going to borrow that up in heaven. I don't think he's going to have to. Take your Bible and look at this last two verses. Look what it says in Proverbs 20, and we'll close. Proverbs 20. Proverbs chapter 20, and look what it says. Proverbs chapter 20, and look at verse 8. Proverbs 20, verse 8. It says, a king sitteth in the throne of judgment. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment. I wonder who that might be. Well, that's Elvis, the king. No, I don't think it's Elvis. A king that sits in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. He's giving you a big clue that's back here in the Old Testament. He's going to scatter away the evil with his eyes. Something about Jesus' eyes at the judgment seat. Well, what kind of eyes is he going to have? And I wonder what they're going to look like when you look him in the eye. Take your Bible and look at Revelation 1. It's amazing. I don't have time to show you this, but you just trust me and look it up. In Song of Solomon, look at Revelation 1. I won't give you time to get there. And notice what Jesus is going to look like when we get to heaven. People, they argue and they say, it's Christmas time, and they say, well, I believe that there's a black Jesus. And white people go, nah, that ain't right. He's white. Because I saw Santa Claus, and pictures I've seen of Jesus is he's white. What color is Jesus, does the Bible say? It's a pretty big issue, you know. People say, your race is free. I'm just asking you, what color is Jesus? People say, he's black. No, I can prove he's not. He's white. No, I can prove he's not white either. If you read Song of Solomon 5 when you get time, it says he's red-brown, ruddy. He's brown-skinned. And most of the people in the world are. All the Jews are. They're not white, and they're not black. Salvation's of the Jews, Jesus is brown. How do you like that? He cuts it right down the middle, doesn't he? Are you listening to me? And he said he had dove's eyes. And he said he's the chiefest among 10,000. That's where we get that song. He's the fairest among 10,000 to my soul. And Song of Solomon is a picture of Jesus Christ and his bride. Hey, listen to me. When we see him, it'd be interesting. He's going to be brown skin. And it says back in Song of Solomon that his hair wasn't brown. His hair was black. How do you like that? Leonardo da Vinci painted the Last Supper in the pictures of Jesus. Why did he paint him kind of a light-skinned guy, look like a Roman guy? Why did he paint him like somebody from Italy? Because that's where he was from. And they painted him with brown hair. Every guy that was over here on the western side, they paint him white. But he's not. It says in the Bible, he's black. He got black hair and bushy hair. Check out what a Jew looks like. He's a Jew. And he said he had dove's eyes. I don't know what dove's eyes look like. You might want to study that when he came the first time. But what's interesting, when Jesus comes again, he's not going to have black hair, brown hair, or any other color. He's going to have white hair. Now, people laugh at me because I got a white eyebrow. And they stare at me throughout the sermon. It makes me bitter. I think they're jealous. I think they just wish, and I'm not prejudiced. I'm white on one side and black on the other side. Amen. I'm young on one side. I'm younger than anybody in here. Don't you think I'm old and I got a white eyebrow? I'm old as anybody, but I'm younger than you guys on the front row on this side. Just depends on which side you check me out on. Look what it says in Revelation 1. I heard about this little girl. And her mother was trying to make her feel guilty. Mothers should do that. Amen? Good mamas try to teach their kids, you shouldn't do that. And she said, every time, little girl, every time you do something that's wrong, that you know, and you disobey your mother, every time you disobey your dad, but especially your mother, do you know what you do? You give me another one of my gray hairs. And she looked up at her mom and she kind of felt bad. And then and some little gray hairs that started coming in. She says, you gave me all my gray hairs. We say mean things to our kids, don't we? And about that time, that little girl's kind of feeling bad. And then Grandma walks by. Grandma comes right behind Mom. And she said, she's got totally white hair. And she says, Mama, you must have been a terror when you were growing up. Look at Grandma's hair. So we say there may be some truth to that. They give us our white hairs, all right, make us pull our hair out. But look what Jesus, 2,000 years later, he's got black hair. Sure as the world, it's in Song of Solomon. And he's got brown skin. It's in Song of Solomon. It tells you what he looks like. But look what it says in Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, John's in the aisle called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And he said, I heard behind me the voices of a trumpet, and I turned to see the one that spake to me. And when I turned, I saw him, and I fell at his feet as dead. You would too. What did he see? He said in verse 14, Revelation 1:14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. I wonder who gave Jesus his white hair during those 2,000 years. His kids. Maybe his little brothers and sisters. Amen. He's the oldest brother. Maybe it's his kids. And he said his hair is white like wool, as white as snow. And notice his eyes in the end of Revelation 1:14 are as a flame of fire. His feet like a fine brass. They burned as in a furnace. His voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. And his sun, countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. It's a different kind of Jesus than people paint. This mild, meek, and lowly. He was mild, meek, and lowly of the first coming, but not when he comes again. John saw what it was going to be like his second coming. And guess what? He said his eyes were as a flame of fire. You know what I think? I can't prove this, but I think I got more verses to show this side than you got the other side. I think that when we get to heaven, we're going to, everybody, when we get there, for about a long time, we're going to check out the scene and we're going to pinch ourselves and say, I can't believe I made it up in the rapture. I can't believe and my name, I've got a mansion reserved with my name on it in heaven. That's what you got for free. Because Jesus loved you. He's a carpenter, son. He knows how to build. That's what he did for 30 years. He's been building many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive in himself that where I am there you may be also. But listen, right after the rapture, we're going to be looking and we're going to say, there he is. We may be way up at the front of the crowd. We may be way back in the back and have to get a telescope to see him. But we're going to all be looking at one person. We're going to be looking at the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Three in one, but they're one. We're going to all be looking at the throne. Just look in Revelation chapter 4. And we're going to start casting our crowns before the throne if we have any. They're going to start a worship service. And we're going to cast our crowns before the throne if we have any. Listen to, don't forget that statement. You want to try to get you some. You got to earn you some. And then you know what's going to happen? You're going to look at Jesus and they're going to pull you to the front of the line. It's going to be your turn. And when you stand there, your life is going to be reviewed. And you say, what's going to start the fire? The king sits in the throne of judgment. Jesus said, Father, I'm going to take over this judgment. This is my bride. I got to iron out all the spots and wrinkles out of her wedding garment before we have the marriage of the Lamb. He said, here's my bride. I'm taking care of this one. He said, you got it, son. God the Father heads over here. And Jesus, we're standing before the judgment seat. And you see the people in front of you. And you watch how they're there. And you're thinking, oh my. Oh man, I shouldn't have done that. I'm so sorry I did those sins, Lord. And you're thinking, I'm saved. But you're thinking, oh my, what if it comes up? It says he'll try every man's work of what sort it is, and they'll be judged according to the judgment seat of Christ. They'll see the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. Wonder what that means. And all he's going to have to do, gold, silver, and precious stone, just shows up. It's on a conveyor belt coming across there. Here's all Freddie Reed stuff. You think I'm going to be shouting? Or I'm going to be ducking my head and already on my knees praying? And Jesus is going to look at that, those works. He's going to look at me. I loved you, Freddie. I lived the perfect life for you. I died, and this is my proof right here in my nail print hand. He said, I'm glad you're here. He's just going to look, and those eyes are as a flame of fire. He's going to scatter away that evil with his eyes. They say Nick Saban, the players that play for him. I was just in a church in Alabama, and the guy went to our church, and he said, I played for Nick Saban. I got to be on special teams, and I got this big old ring he showed me. We won the national championship in 2010, and I was on his team for 3 years. He said, every guy on our team didn't want Nick Saban looking at him. He had those eyes. That's just a human. He just had a way. What's it going to be like when we stand before the Lord? And his eyes are as one. Hey, I want something to come through. I want something that'll last. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words won't. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.